And we have another episode of Now and New here as part of WQKT. And, well, it's unfortunate here in the state of Ohio, but one of the things happening right now is COVID spread, and not just COVID spread among adults, but really more so amongst kids at this point, which is kind of the opposite of what we saw this time last year, which is, I guess, interesting and kind of strange and new for many doctors, scientists, and pediatricians all across the state. To talk about it, I welcomed in a state representative, and we have her on the line right now, and that is Beth Liston, who is from south of here in the Columbus area, and she is going to talk to us about why it's spreading amongst kids, because she's not just a state representative, but also a pediatrician as well. State Representative Liston, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me here and bringing up this important topic, because we really are seeing cases rise significantly in kids. It's actually rising at twice the rate in children as it is in the rest of the population. And I think many of us are aware that we're seeing COVID numbers still surge in Ohio in a way that's concerning. So it's really important for us to talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, let's, I guess, ask the question that's the elephant in the room of why this is happening, State Representative.
Well, kids are not vaccinated yet. They're certainly under 12. No one's able to get vaccinated. And although we expect that to happen in the next month, that we are able to start giving vaccines, right now there's not anything available. And so when you put that together with the Delta virus that we know is more infectious, kids that are, you know, in schools, which is important, but we know that 40% of kids in schools that don't have any requirements for masks, all those things are sort of a perfect storm for, unfortunately, sick kids, and we're certainly seeing that in Ohio.
So since we know that it's the lack of a vaccine for kids, lack of the ability to get it, what can be done then to slow down that spread amongst those kids?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, even adults getting vaccinated can help because it stems the spread overall and stems the number of viruses that anyone comes into contact with. And then, you know, we know that masks help. We've seen that pretty objectively. The Ohio and American Academy of Pediatrics have come out pretty strongly with statements about the effectiveness of masks in kids as well as the safety. And so it isn't rocket science. It's stuff that we know helps, which is vaccines among those who can get it, and, you know, keeping our distance as able, but while kids are in school and need to be close to each other, being diligent with spacing as able, and those masks can really impact our kids' health and outcomes.
Here's a very unpopular question, as State Representative Beth Liston is my guest. She is also a pediatrician, but that question is, should masks be mandatory in school settings?
Yes, masks should be mandatory in school settings. Certainly right now, while the Delta variant is so prevalent and we're seeing surges in a way that we have not yet been able to control. We're seeing too many kids get sick, and our children's hospitals are too full right now. We're certainly going to see bad outcomes as a result.
You know, I feel like you have such an interesting line that you're on with this, because you're not just a lawmaker, but you're also a pediatrician. So you see both sides of things. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's struck you most, is maybe surprising you the most throughout this pandemic that we've had, State Representative Liston? Has there been one thing that stood out to you above the rest of things that have just been like, well, wow, I can't believe that's happened?
I believe that everyone wants to keep kids safe, and no one wants COVID to be spread. And so I'm still so surprised that, as we have so much evidence about the safety of masks and vaccines, that it's still such a hot button topic. I know that's a big answer. What surprised me? Well, it surprised me this is so controversial, but it still is. And I see it when we talk to families, and you can see that it's become a political thing and not a health thing, because everyone wants to keep their kids safe, and they just don't trust experts right now. And I don't know why that happened. Lots of different theories and lots of different things that contributed, but you know, it's very clear that this is what needs to be done from a health perspective, and yet there's still people that are arguing about it. And I certainly wouldn't have predicted it, and we still need to work in that context as we try to protect children in Ohio.
Well, and I feel like this is maybe where your, I guess, position becomes precarious with this, because not only are you, as I said, the lawmaker, but then you are the pediatrician on the side, so you're making laws about this, but then you're also kind of an expert, in a sense, being the pediatrician for kids. So, you know, when people say, well, you're just politicizing it, what do you say back to them, State Representative?
I'm definitely not politicizing it. It certainly has become politicized, but I don't talk about this in the context of politics, because really, this is about health. It's about, you know, what we know we're seeing in the hospitals, which is lots of kids who are hospitalized with respiratory illnesses, and what we know that we need to do based on expert guidance from, you know, pediatricians groups that have been in existence and don't get involved in politics and really just put the science together. So it isn't, to me, about politics. This is about science, period, and about health, period.
The thing is, though, is that some of those terms that you're mentioning, health and science, those have become very political terms in the last year, haven't they?
They seem to have been, yes. And yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Did you ever think we'd get there?
I did not view this as where we would go. No. I mean, you know, we've seen so much happen quickly in terms of our understanding of COVID and in terms of our, you know, ability to treat it some, but prevent it mostly. And so I really thought that that was going to be what made a difference in the outbreaks, both for adults and for kids. And yet we're still seeing, you know, so many unvaccinated people that get sick and die, and we're still seeing our hospitals filling up. No, I didn't think this would be the case. I thought the science and numbers would be convincing, but I know that it's hard for people to feel like they're getting trusted information. So the more that they can talk to trusted individuals, the better. And hopefully the more awareness people have, then the better, because people will seek out those trusted sources and maybe not just believe a quick Google search or what they see on social media, but look into it more deeply. And obviously that's one of the really important things that everyone should be doing for any field of expertise, not just medicine. It's not enough to get that superficial skim of Facebook posts, but rather talk to the people that have spent their careers dedicated to the field. And certainly, and I would say that's the case for most physicians and scientists that study this.
State Representative Beth Liston, my guest, and she's also a pediatrician. Last question for you, State Representative. You mentioned those trusted sources that people can look for. Well, where can they go for those? Where can they find those? And how can they accurately find things that you believe from your position as a pediatrician will give them the opinion that they need?
Well, I would start with their pediatricians. I mean, most kids have them and someone that they've been seeing regularly, even if it's just once a year, someone that families have already trusted to their children's health. You could look at those professional groups. I already mentioned the American Academy of Pediatrics. They have all sorts of information for families, for providers, for patients. I think people can find in our own state government accurate numbers on what infections look like, both at the health department level as well as, you know, our state level, where you can look at the coronavirus reporting sites, so that you really know actually what infections look like. But I really would start with your own pediatrician and or family physician or internist if you're a little bit older, because they're seeing it firsthand. It's not about a numbers fight or politics. It's really about what people are seeing in healthcare.
State Representative Beth Liston, also a pediatrician, I appreciate your time this morning on Now and New, and look forward to the next time that we get to do this.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the time and conversation.